Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. How is 10:30? Feels like you are alive. Hi, thank you. How amazing was that time of worship, honestly? Hey, absolutely incredible. Good morning. Welcome to church. If you're new with us today, if it's your first time, or maybe you've just been coming for the last few weeks, so many people on the deck chatting to them. It's just been their first few weeks into the new year and they've been with us. Welcome. We hope that you felt welcome, that you felt at home. And if you're from Brakpan, welcome. We have a special Brakpan supporters club right here at church. Good morning, Brakpan. They're very loud, the Brakpan people. So we always like to give them a little bit of airtime in the service just to get it out of their system. If you're hot in the auditorium this morning, I promise our aircons are working as hard as they can. The reality is they just are not enough to cool this place down with 400, 500 bodies in it because we've all got body heat, haven't we? Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm hot. And if you're single, ready to mingle, and you feel like you're hot, just head to the welcome center at the deck. There'll be other welcome, hot single people there as well. Some hot married people actually come along as well, and then we have to chase them away and say, you guys are married, leave it alone. But anyway. So, just fan yourselves. What I would like to ask is if we could all just kind of keep seated. Every now and then, one or two, particularly the younger team that might be in the service, they want to get up and have a wee, if they can just hold it. You know, when you go to the movies, you have to hold your wee for an hour and a half. Well, the service isn't even an hour and a half, so try your best if you can. That'll just make sure there's less disruption in the auditorium. Nobody's scooting past you. You're not putting your bum in anybody's face as you go past. Holy Spirit's trying to do something with somebody and then your bum interrupts the Holy Spirit. And so, we got a deal? Yes. And here's my promise to you. The better you respond today, the cooler you'll feel. I don't know. Shall we stand? And let's take a moment. Let's pray. Are you ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
We continue the series called Good News People today. And so let's pray into that. Father, in these moments, we want to dedicate ourselves to you. We want to consecrate ourselves to you, come apart, aside from our lives, and find ourselves in the space here where you can speak to us. And we've already had the great privilege of worshiping you, of giving praise to you. What a privilege to be in this family where we can listen to each other, giving you praise. And we've continued our worship through our giving and our generosity. And now in these moments, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak a personal word to each one of us. Where we find ourselves, you know. And you know what we need to receive from today. And so, Jesus, we just give you our minds, we give you our hearts, we give you our spirits. We give you our bodies as we remain attentive to you. And we ask that this would be sacred space, a holy ground, a special time when we hear from the God in heaven who loves us, desires a friendship with us, created us, and is forming us into good news people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please do have a seat. And as you do so, could I invite you this morning to imagine with me for a moment. Is that okay? Can I ask you to kind of enter into imaginary space with me for a moment? And I want to invite you to imagine that your name is Simon. So just imagine for a moment today that you are Simon and you're a first century Hebrew. Likely you're in your late teens, early 20s. You run a fishing business in this little string of villages up in the north part of Israel called the Galilee. And you do what your father did and what his father did ahead of him. You're a fisherman. You see, you live under Roman occupation. And although you live in this land that is supposedly yours, the Romans have occupied that land. They rule that land. And so there aren't a lot of options for you as a young man entering into life now other than to do what your father did and what your grandfather did. And so you keep your head down, you fish, you keep quiet, and you pay your taxes. One day, as you're fishing, you're waist deep in water. You're casting your net alongside your brother Andrew, who's next to you, when you notice a man walking towards you on the beach. You instantly recognize his face because this man has become well known. His face has become well known. Even though there's no social media, no TV, his face has kind of done the rounds. It's him. His name is Jesus. He comes from a town called Nazareth, just a few miles away, and everybody's been talking about this man, what he is saying and the things that he's doing. You see, he's saying things and doing things that no rabbi has ever done or said before, ever. And yet here he is now, walking straight towards you. You make eye contact with him. And at first you wonder, is there somebody behind me that his attention is on? Is he looking through me to get to somebody else? But then you realize that there's nobody behind you, and you realize that Jesus' gaze is only on you. And his eyes, they sparkle like stars, like there's an entire universe behind them. He radiates joy, but with this man, there's no small talk. His words to you are, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. So you immediately drop your nets. You drag Andrew out of the boat, although he doesn't need any convincing. He's sold out to this thing immediately. You leave everything behind. Your father's business, your grandfather's business, you leave it behind. Just elated, ecstatic, excited to be in this mysterious rabbi's company. And you follow him. Church, this account that I've just paraphrased for us now, it's found in Matthew chapter 4. And it's found in Mark chapter 1. Matthew 4 and Mark 1, I want to ask if you would bank this thought. They are the same account. So this account that I've just paraphrased for us is found in Matthew 4, Mark 1, same account. So you got it? Put it in the bank, put it in the envelope, stick it in the ATM because we're going to come back to it a little bit later and draw it back out. Are you all good? But as I read this account, and as I put myself into Simon's shoes, you have to, I think if you're a thinking person, you have to ask yourself the question, what makes Simon and his brother Andrew, what makes these guys just so quickly get up and follow? And I thought maybe I could put this particular dilemma that they would have faced into 21st century terms. Maybe I could situate it into a 21st century context that might help us understand just exactly why they did what they did so quickly. Imagine with me for a moment that you get 7 A's because you're the person that takes the extra subject in matric. And in matric, you get not 6 A's, but 7 A's. And you want to go to university, but there's just no funding. The university, for some unknown reason, is not giving a scholarship. Your parents haven't got the money to send you to university. And here you sit with, as a person with 7 A's. You want to study aeronautical engineering, and you just cannot break into it. 5 years after your matric, you find yourself working the grind. You find yourself working in the food business, flipping burgers. 14 hours a day over a hot stove, you flip burgers. And as you're clock watching one day, 5 minutes before your shift is due to end, in walks the most famous aeronautical engineering professor in the world from Oxford University. Now, you know he's the most famous aeronautical engineering professor in the world from Oxford because you're that person that reads those geeky aeronautical engineering magazines. So nobody else in Boxburg knows that he's the leading aeronautical engineering professor in the world, but you do. And as he walks in, he locks eyes with you, and his gaze finds you, and he says to you, I know you. I know you got 7 A's, and I know you have a deep thing inside of you to study aeronautical engineering. I want to offer you a full expenses, no payment, 7-year all expenses, scholarship and living expenses and accommodation, full ride to Oxford University. The only condition is you've got to come now. How many of you would put your burger flipper down, turn to your boss and say, and off you go. Am I right?
Yes.
Peter lived in a first century world where every Jewish boy wanted to become a rabbi. And the bad ones, the ones that didn't pass the grade, they got sent home and told to make babies and try and ply a trade and maybe at some stage try again. Peter was in that category. Peter got rejected for rabbi class. And now the greatest rabbi that the world has ever seen, the rabbi that says things and does things that no rabbi has ever done before, walks towards him while he's with his fishing boat in the middle of the water and says, "You can come and apprentice under me, all expenses paid, if you come now." No wonder Peter turned and said, it'll be on the screen. Simon and Andrew, his brother Andrew, both of them, they had this glimpse that through Jesus, the kingdom of God kind of life was now available to them. And this life is available to anyone and everyone. That's the good news for us. And so as these guys followed Jesus, they became good news people. But today what I want to do is take us into Peter's world a little bit and show you just how weird and wonderful his journey of following Jesus was. And I want to surface for us today three issues that Peter had to encounter, Peter had to overcome, three issues that he had to address in his life if he was going to become the guy that follows Jesus. So the title of the message today, if you're a person who goes to Typo and buys things from Typo, it means you're the person who wants a title for a message. You take notes, you're structured, you're systematic. The title is Good News People Follow Jesus. Right, remember I asked you to bank the fact that that account that I spoke us through, that I paraphrased, that's found in Mark 1 and Matthew 4. What I want to do is read you a text of Jesus inviting Simon to follow him again, but from Luke 5. And as you read it, you'll notice some similarities. And on the other side of that text, I'm going to unpack what's really going on here. Okay, it'll be on the screen. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So stepping into one of the boats, Simon asked Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So then he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. And his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. If that account where Jesus comes and says to Simon, follow me and you'll fish for me, if that feels familiar to the Mark 4 and the Matthew 4 and the Mark 1 scripture, it's because it is similar, but notice they are two different accounts. This is exceedingly important to us today, church. They are two different accounts. Mark 1 and Matthew 4, Jesus comes to Simon the first time, catches him while he's fishing, says, leave everything. Simon leaves his nets, grabs Andrew, and they go off and they follow Jesus. But now in this account that we've just read in Luke 5, it's very different. Jesus comes to Simon. What's Simon doing? Simon's fishing. He takes control of Simon's boat, teaches. And once he's finished teaching, he goes to Peter and he says, now, Peter, head out in your boat and go into deeper water and put your net over that side And there's a whole bunch of things. The catch comes in. Peter's like, this is incredible. Get away from me. I'm such a sinful man. And then the call to follow again. But they are two distinct accounts in Scripture. They are two distinct events, meaning that Simon Peter had been asked to follow Jesus once before. He had been asked to leave his nets. He did leave his nets. He did follow the rabbi, but something happened that went pear-shaped such that he was now back fishing once again. And this is where Jesus gets him now the second time and says, leave your nets, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. The point is, I find that encouraging because we've all got a little bit of Peter in us. We've all followed Jesus and then some things have gone pear-shaped. And then Jesus comes to us again and extends the invitation, come. Follow me again. Are you with me? Now, this next time that we've just read now in Luke's Gospel, Luke 5, Peter, in order to get it right this time, in order for it to be different from what it was before, Peter has to address, confront, think about five issues. I'm going to tackle the first three today. And then part two is going to come later on in the month. The first issue Peter had to address was the obedience issue. So, he's got his boat, he's fishing. Jesus comes and says, hey, I want your boat. First issue of obedience. Okay, Jesus, do you want my boat? Okay, use it. How many of you would have said, hey, find your own boat? But you see, there's history. So he goes, so Peter's probably going, oh, my word, he's back. I wonder if he's going to ask me to follow again. So he takes his boat, uses his boat to teach, then says to him, push your boat out further. And then says to him, I know you've worked hard, but put your nets over that side. Do you see the three instances of obedience just in these first few verses that Peter has to grapple with? Peter has to decide, will I be obedient to Jesus? And it is the issue that every Christ follower has to address on a present, continuous, ongoing basis as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and asks us to live in more life-giving ways. We get to choose, am I going to be obedient? Yeah. Wow. Are you with me? Now, obedience, I think, can come from two places. The first type of obedience can come from the stick approach, where you know if I'm not obedient, I'm going to get clapped over the head with something. Anybody here got post-traumatic stress disorder from your parents finding weapons of their choice and just beating the obedience into you? I can remember my mom literally running around the garage, like throwing things at my brothers and I. We just hoped that she wouldn't get hold of the hammer, you know? Anybody relate? So you can either be obedient because you think, if I don't, I'm going to get a hammer thrown, or you know, or you can be obedient because you believe that what's being asked of you is actually for your good. Years ago, about 10 years ago, I was in the United States and our hosts took us to the biggest roller coaster park in the eastern part of the United States. I'm a sucker for roller coasters. I'm always going to get on a roller coaster if there's one nearby. Even Gold Reef City, I'll take a chance that they've serviced those things. I'll go. I just can't resist. Anyway, this was a very legit roller coaster. So I get on, and I've just bought a hat in America, and it got some cheesy saying on it. I was like, I bought this hat in America. So the guy says to me, sir, take off your hat. So I go, no, I'm not taking off my hat. So he says, so take off your hat. You can put it in the locker. I said, I'm not putting, typical South African, I'm not doing it because somebody's going to come and scale my hat. You know what I mean? He says, sir, I really think you should take off your hat. I'm like, forget it. I'm not taking off my hat. I'll keep my hat on. He says, okay, fine. So be it. 3 seconds into the roller coaster, as it hit about 180 kilometers an hour, my hat went shoop. I looked around only to see my hat flying into the next state. I was in North Carolina. It landed and gone. There's some American dude right now walking around with my hat on. Obedience. He wasn't He wasn't saying take your hat off because there's a rule you can't wear hats on roller coasters. He was saying take your hat off because you're going to lose your hat. Yeah. What I'm asking of you is good for you. There's this desert father. These desert fathers are a fascinating group of people, desert fathers and mothers. In about the 300 AD, these people decided that the world was so messed up that they would go and live in the desert and just so that they could live a life of prayer before God. And this guy, his name is Abba John, and he was a dwarf apparently. He was living there, but he was training under this old man. This old man was old and he was wise. One day this old man comes to Abba John and he says to him, John, you see this stick over here? I'm going to plant the stick. And he plants the stick in the desert. And then he says to John, now what I want you to do is I want you to water the stick every single day. Water the stick. Now for you and I, we would turn on the sprinklers or we would go and grab a hose or we'd grab a bucket of water and we'd water the stick. But if you live in a desert, how many of you know there's no water to simply do that? So what John had to do was John had to walk through the night to a well that was miles away, draw water from the well, bring it back such that he arrived in the early hours of the next morning, and he would water the stick. For 3 years, he waters the stick. One day, the stick buds, a little leaf that grows into a bigger leaf and then grows into fruit. And the old man that had planted the stick and had asked John to water the stick, the old man plucks the fruit, walks to the nearest church miles away with the fruit in his hand, and he announces to the congregation, behold, the fruit of obedience. 3 years of watering a stupid stick that didn't look like anything was happening. Why? Because there's fruit. Your obedience and my obedience will always bear fruit in your life. Even if it doesn't look like anything's happening now. Even if it looks like your obedience is a dry stick. Even if it looks like you turning your back on dodgy practices in your workplace. Even if it looks like you being honest and integrous and full of ethics in your workplace. Even if you breaking off that relationship where that guy's wanting to move too fast, asking things of you physically, emotionally, sexually that you're not ready for. Even if that feels like a dry, dry thing. Obedience will bear fruit. I wondered to myself if Peter, imagine folks, imagine if Peter had said to Jesus, hey, find your own boat. I'm done with you. I wonder if the activity of God, I wonder if the call of God would have stopped at that moment in his life. It's just a wondering. I don't know the answer. It'll be on the screen. The obedience issue, it invites us to consider the question, who is Lord? I've got good news for you today and I've got bad news for you. Which one would you like first? Yes. Overwhelmingly, the bad news first. The bad news is that Jesus wasn't just a good person. He wasn't just an amazing rabbi. He wasn't just the kindest person that has ever walked the planet. He wasn't just a healer. He wasn't just the greatest example of how to live in this world ever. The bad news is Jesus wasn't just that. The bad news for you and for me is, guys, can we stop the walking, please? Is that he is Lord. Which means that he is Lord. Which means that he's Lord. Which means that when he asks, we obey. Yes. So the bad news is you can't be a follower of Jesus without obedience. Yeah. The good news is the obedience to Jesus will lead to fruit that you never thought possible in your life. The good news is that what Jesus asks of us is always life-giving. It's always going to lead us into a great place. What Jesus asks of us is always, always, always going to lead to the very best scenario for our lives. question. What's the Holy Spirit been bothering you about? What's he been tugging at your heart? What's he been tapping you on the shoulder about? What's the obedience from you today that's needed? And I'll leave that as a question. Second issue that Peter had to work through is what I want to call the direction issue. Jesus was giving direction. Would you agree? So Peter didn't feel like putting out his net again. Peter didn't feel like fishing again. Peter didn't feel like pushing his boat out again. And yet Jesus says to him, Peter, I know you're the fisherman. And I know I'm supposed to just be the lowly rabbi. But if you will follow my direction, I promise you, you'll see things you've never seen before. I want to say to somebody prophetically today, if you'll follow the direction that God is prompting you in, leading you in, calling you to, asking you for, you'll see things in your life that you never thought possible. You see, what Peter didn't know was that although he was the fisherman and Jesus was the rabbi, Jesus was also the one that breathed the ocean into place, that created through the words of his mouth and holds together, because the scripture tells us that he holds the entire universe together in his hands. And so what Peter didn't know was he was talking to the one that had breathed those very fish into existence, and he knew, Jesus knows exactly where the fish are in your life. Are you with me? And so when he says, I have a direction in mind, it's worth paying attention to. Jesus said to Peter, it'll be on the screen, I have a direction in mind, and I want you to move in the direction that I give you. This was like firsthand, like lived experience for me, because I can remember still to this day, happy in my career, 7 years into my career, loving my job, loving my bosses, loving my colleagues, loving everything about my job. 7 years into it, I'm standing at a conference one day. There isn't even music playing. I mean, it wasn't like the band struck a particular note and you could hear the angels sing. It wasn't like a great vocalist had just given a line. There was nothing going on except pre-service slides, just like a few slides on the screen. And God spoke to me in a moment. Jesus, like, in a moment. I can still remember where I was. I can remember how I felt. I can remember it's so audible almost over my left shoulder. I can remember the phrase, like when he just called me into ministry type work. And then it took me from that moment on, clear as anything, it took me 7 years to figure my way out of my career and into it. It took me 7 years to turn the boat. So if you're struggling with direction, or in the sense that God's called you one way, I know what you're going through, friends. I've been there and I've lived it. And I just want to say to you, I just want to assure you that the safest, best place you can ever, ever be is in the center of God's will. Do I take this job? Do I move house? Do I move suburbs? Do I move provinces? Do I move countries? Do I move to that place or do I stay put? Do we have kids or do we adopt kids? Do I resign my job or stay in my job? Do I pursue this friendship or not? Do I say yes to this marriage proposal or not? Do I trust this person or not? Do I make this lifestyle change to my life or not? All of these big, big, big decisions. And if we allow space for Jesus to give direction, I want to say to you, he will. He is faithful. He doesn't leave us hanging. He certainly leaves us in periods of silence at times. And Jesus is never late, but he misses most opportunities to be early, doesn't he? Right? I want to give you three principles to apply to get the direction of God for your life. Number one, direction can be guided by our peace. What does the Holy Spirit say? Do we even ask the Holy Spirit? Or do we go, is this a good idea? Is this lekker? Whatever. So these days, women are proposing to men. If you're in a relationship, you can see she's taking it to the next level. She's starting to talk about hot air balloon rides and all sorts of things. You know there's a proposal on the way, right? And then she proposes to you. And now as a guy, you've got to go, oh my word, what do I do? What do I do? Well, because here's the newsflash. If you don't know by that time, the answer is no. If by the time the proposal comes, you're still uncertain, the answer is? No. Thank you. The answer is? No. I hope you're more convinced than that. If you're still toying with the idea, do I marry this person at the time of the proposal, you've missed the boat. And the answer should be no. I'm just using a light-hearted example. direction can be guided by our peace. John 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit comes and he guides us, right? He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own, but he'll tell you what he's heard and he will tell you about the future. There's a fantastic principle that I'm giving you today that let your peace guide you. So in the back to the marriage example, if you don't feel a peace about marrying that person, for heaven's sake, don't marry the person. Are you with me? If you don't feel a peace about resigning your job, don't resign your job. Why? Because every single one of us, this is so important, that follow Jesus, have the Holy Spirit within us, and the Spirit of truth leads us. And he leads us primarily by a lack of peace or by the presence of peace. That's principle number one. Principle number two, direction can be guided by wise counsel. What do wise people say? Again, do we ask wise people? I spoke to somebody the other day. They're like, my boss spoke badly to me, so I resigned my job. I just hoed my resignation letter there and then. And now they're like, please pray for provision. I'm like, oh. It's like you had provision, but you didn't. It might well be that you need to leave a toxic environment. It might well be. But work the process. Do you feel at peace? Do wise people agree with you? Are you with me? Ask your friends. And if your friends are douchebags, then ask somebody better than your friends. But Proverbs 24:6, look at it. Don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. You know, I see people in our individualistic society, everybody wants to row their own boat. We're all too proud to ask anybody what they think about the decisions we want to make. And the reason is because most of us, well, much of the time, we want to make the decision that we want to make and we're too scared that somebody wise is going to go, don't be a fool. Don't do it. Are you with me? It's gone so quiet in this Catholic church. Number three, direction can be guided by the word of God. What do the principles of God say? So for example, in Thessalonians, Paul says to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians 3, he says, if you don't want to work, then you must realize you're not going to eat. So before you resign your job, just read that scripture and see if the Holy Spirit still gives you peace. You all okay? The direction issue invites us to consider the question, do I trust you, Lord? No matter the direction you ask me to take, do I trust you, Lord? No matter that I sense, and I have sensed for the last year that this guy is not good for me, I keep going back for more. Do I trust you, Lord, that there's another guy out there that could be much better for me? It's gone even quieter in this Catholic church. Okay, number three is the credit issue, the credit issue. This is not whether or not you've defaulted on your bond or your car payment. It's not that kind of credit issue. Verse 8, Peter says, Lord, leave me. I'm too much of a sinful man. Lord, leave me. When I see what you've done, I go, oh my word, you're amazing. The credit issue. When God does something for you and for me, who gets the credit? When there's a catch of fish, like no catch of fish ever before, who gets the credit? I love Peter. I mean, he could have so easily taken the credit. That's all happening out in the water, right? So he hoists the net over the other side, fish comes in, boat sinking. Peter could easily have had a quick word with the guys in him. Guys, let's pull the boats in. And let's tell the guys on the beach what an epic catch we've had. I mean, he could have taken his fishing tunic, stripped it down to the waist, bared the hair on his chest, grabbed two boats behind him. You know, Chariots of Fire music. Picture it. Dun, 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 dun. Right? Remember that? Will you hum it with me? Dun, 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 dun. He could have done that and said, lekker boys, check it out. Could have so easily done that, hey? But he does the exact opposite. He falls to his knees and he says, Jesus, you've done it. It's not me. I know I'm an experienced fisherman, but I would never dare to think that my skill could have produced that catch. It's quite nice down here. The aircon's getting me. I'm going to stay here. Those of you business people, your business is flourishing. Don't buy the lie that it's you. Don't for a moment take credit for it yourself. Don't for a moment think, check it out, guys. It's my hard work. It's my sharpness. It's my intellect. It's my ability with people. It's my sales skills. It's my IT skills. It's my coding. Don't buy the lie. Every single one of us, what we have is only from the hand of God. Those of you who are killing it at your jobs, God's doing great things in you, through you, for you. Don't for a moment think that it's because of you, your skill, your expertise. Don't for a moment buy the lie that you had this big role to play in it. I'm telling you, you can go all night without fishing. You can be as skilled and experienced as what you are, and you can have no fish with one word from Jesus, and you can get the biggest catch you've ever had in your life. The point is, when God intervenes, that's when stuff happens. Are you with me? So the credit issue. And Dallas Willard said, the opposition to the kingdom of God is the kingdom of me. Listen, when things go well, it's the kingdom of me. Things go badly, oh God, I want the kingdom of God. Oh God, I want the kingdom of God. But when things go well, it's the kingdom of me. Are you with me today? The credit issue invites us to consider the question, where does my success come from? Where do my blessings come from? Quick recap. Quick recap. Peter got called to leave his nets not once, but twice. First time he did it, and then he took a short left. Things went pear-shaped. Things went south. He finds himself back at his boat. I'm encouraged by that because there's a little bit of Peter in me. Chances are there's a little bit of Peter in you. And Jesus, because he is the most kind and gracious presence that's ever walked this planet, comes to Peter again and he finds him. And he teaches the crowds and then he has this little private exchange with Peter and he says, Peter, head out. And Peter, put your net here. And Peter has to face in this moment as he catches the largest catch of fish ever, he has to address three issues, three knocks that are inside every single human being. Number one, obedience. Who's Lord? Number two, direction. Do I trust you, Jesus? Number three, credit. Where does my blessing actually come from? And as Christ followers, if you and I on a present continuous basis, if we can follow Jesus addressing those issues, obedience, direction, and credit, we can keep our hearts humble, we can keep our hearts teachable, and we can follow so closely behind Jesus that the dust from his sandals gets on our feet. Should we take a moment and pray? Today, I especially want to invite you to respond if you know you followed Jesus, but life took you on some journeys and you find yourself like Peter, back at your fishing nets. I'm not talking obviously about your career or anything. I'm talking about your walk with Jesus spiritually. Like you're back at your old ways. You're back at your old place. I just love the moment and the opportunity to pray for you if you want to follow Jesus. So just the call today for response is for anybody and everybody in this room that wants to follow Jesus. Follow him with your whole heart. Follow him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you haven't been doing so. Might be that you've never done it and today it's the first time. Or it might be, sure, today is a day of rededication of my life. It matters not because Jesus sees every single one of us. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask if I could have the privilege of praying for you. So I'll ask on a quick count of three, when I get to three, if you would like me to pray for you in that sense, slip up your hand and I'll see you. I'll say thank you and I'll grab a hold of that. And I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything. I'm simply going to see you. But this is a very, very deep, significant thing that's going on in your life now. The Holy Spirit's getting a hold of you in a big, big way. So if you want to follow Jesus, and I mean really follow Jesus, if you want to pass the cost test, the obedience test, the direction test, and the credit test, on the count of three, slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Hands up across this place if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you up in the balcony. So many of you there as well. Thank you down the side of the bank. Thank you, center bank, sir. I can see you there a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, side bank. Thank you. Just keep your hands up if you want to still respond and you haven't yet. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come, let's pray. Would you pray with me, church? Let's be the church in this moment. Hey, we're a family. So let's pray together. Let's say, Father God, thank you so much for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you came for me, lived for me, died for me, and you asked me to follow you. Today I want to do that. With all of me, I ask you to forgive me. Begin to write a new story with my life. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.